I'm excited to be here with you. It's kind of like priming the pump a little bit. I've got to kind of work my way into it. Worship was good for me. Worship was good for me. Practice was not good for me this morning because it was just a hard start, a cold start, if you will. So maybe some of you are there today. Maybe some of you have come in this morning cold started from whatever wreckage you did to yourself the night before. Your finals are done, right? You wish they were. So maybe you took a little time for yourself and you come in and you wrecked yourself. And I get that. I understand that. Maybe your vice won last night. Maybe whatever it is that you know, Caleb, his curmudgeon troll-like behavior this week with commencement and how it catches up with him and gives him a good communion meditation, right? Maybe some of us are just coming in cold spiritually. One of the false narratives that we are addressing in our teaching today, and the teaching is actually called God Transforms. God Transforms. And one of the false narratives that we have is that we are sinners. Do you agree with that? Those of you that have said yes to Jesus, myself included, I would classify myself for the longest time as a sinner. After saying yes to Jesus. Because what I did not reflect this grace style of life, this stuff that Jesus died for. What I did was, my vice was pornography. I think I've talked to you guys about this before. My advice was constantly looking at pornography. I wouldn't say I was addicted to it. That's a lie, okay? And maybe some of you are lying to yourself today about your addiction and the things that you constantly go to, your vices. But my addiction was pornography. My addiction was constant self-gratification. My addiction was constantly coming to church on a Sunday morning after wrecking myself all week long because I'm a sinner. Yet I know Jesus. Yet I said yes to Jesus. Yet I've said and been baptized and understand to a certain degree, not a full degree, of what it is that Jesus has done for me. And yet I classified myself as a sinner. How does that happen? Do those things go together at all? Do you guys have an answer? They don't go together, right? It's confusing, but yet a lot of us believe in our minds and our hearts and our attitudes and our actions and how we operate and how we are. That's what we are. Now, I can tell you I was a sinner prior to meeting Jesus. Maybe that's some of you today, right? If you don't know Jesus, and you've yet to make that step and make that confession and make that commitment to Jesus, my friends, you are a sinner. You are a sinner that have not been atoned by what Jesus offers, by this God that constantly chases after us to give us this free gift of His love, His grace, His mercy. You're operating in that world. But for those of us that understand Jesus, we no longer operate in that world, but yet we act as if we do. Anybody in the room, am I the only one? This is an interesting concept, isn't it? But sinning and being a sinner is not a normative, it's not a normal behavior for Jesus' people, for people that claim Jesus. And what we need to understand as Jesus followers, as those who have said yes to Jesus, is that we already have all we need to make this happen. Some of us are saying, well, then why am I constantly wrecking myself? Why am I constantly going? We're going to get there, okay? But we have all we need to make this happen. We just need to have a mindset shift. We need to have a heart correction. We need to shift our narratives into correct thinking about who God is and what God is and who we are and how we are within that system that God has. You with me? It's kind of quiet. I like it. You guys are either hanging on my every word or you're on your phones. Right? So we address this false narrative. And the idea that Christians are sinners actually seems true. And it has been articulated by theologians, you know, all over the place. We sing songs about it here, right? We have songs that, what's the song by the chick and the dude? they sang All the Poor and Powerless. All Sons and Daughters. We've sang a song from All Sons and Daughters. I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. Caught up in words tangled in lies. We sing these things about ourselves. We do it in songs. We do it in the way in which we think. We do it in the way in which we act. We do it in the way in all of these things. And though that idea seems true, it's also been articulated through all these different theologians. And the more we look at it, the more we see it, it's actually false in comparison to what Scripture actually has to say about who we are in the New Testament and who God is within us. And what God has done through the power of his resurrection. Do you understand this? The resurrection of Jesus. He came to defeat death. He came to just destroy death altogether and sin. He was this atonement for you and I. Atonement means this covering this. He made things right between us and God. And then he raises again, conquering death. So there is nothing that we have in this world to fear. Should we read some scripture that talks about this? Please? Adam, you suck. Let's just read some scripture. Yeah. Let's just read some scripture, okay? I want to say this first, though. Christians, we that claim Jesus are not merely forgiven sinners, but we are actually a new species. We just got done singing, I'm a creature for your love, right? We are a new species. God wants to transform us. God is a transforming God. And he does it. A person's indwelt by Jesus, possessing the same eternal life that he has through his death on the cross, through his covering. And the New Testament is very bold in everything that it says in here. It says in Colossians 1:27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Okay? We carry Jesus inside of us here. When you were dead in trespasses, this pre-sinning lifestyle before Jesus, when you were dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him. When he forgave all our trespasses, these sins that we were living in, this life that we had formed, has all been forgiven. Okay? Galatians 2:19 through 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Romans 8:1, there is now, therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not even your own? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Romans 8:10, but if Christ is in you through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And lastly, we have Colossians 3:3, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So one of the things that happens when we become this Jesus, this new species creation, right? One of the things that happens is when we say yes to Jesus and we start living Jesus ways and doing Jesus things, Jesus actually is inside of us through the Holy Spirit. Do you guys know that? Seems a little weird, doesn't it? We carry Jesus around in us. Some of you have heard me preach And I have used the phrase watching porn with God. You know what I'm talking about? And you guys are like, that's weird, that's gross. That's what essentially is happening when I was sinning and doing what I wanted to do with this Jesus inside of me. I'm watching porn with God. Watching porn with Jesus. But we carry him around. And many of us act like we don't. Many of us act like when it comes to our vices or our sin or our ways in which we are, we act like there's just, it's unstoppable. When it happens, and there's just no way we can get out of it. Do you know what I'm talking about? In that moment when it's so intense and you see a way out of it and you see the way to it, and you're like, you know, I just kind of start sweating and your body starts tingling and you know this thing's going to take over, and you choose the other thing instead of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. You guys been there? Come on. But we need to examine this in greater detail. This, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. But how did God do this? What exactly is a new creation? And what difference does it make in our lives? You guys know butterflies? Real simple. We're going to go back to grade school, maybe even high school. I don't know. Are you learning about butterflies in high school?
Yep.
Are you? 100%? Okay. They are learning about it in high school. Amazing. Let's go back to the simple thing with butterflies. And a butterfly starts off as a caterpillar. Caterpillar goes into a what? Cocoon, chrysalis. And comes out a... So we would say that this caterpillar has been transformed. You guys sound like your Sunday school. I love it. Transformed. We're not stupid. But here's the thing, is this butterfly comes out, and it's just the most beautiful creation, right? It's this most beautiful thing, and you look at a caterpillar, and you're like, that thing's a worm. An interesting worm, right? And it goes into the chrysalis, and it has this kind of transformation that happens. And all of a sudden it comes out as this beautiful butterfly, which was once a caterpillar that had to adhere to the laws of gravity, right? Something in that caterpillar changed into this butterfly with wings, and it's defying gravity, doing things that it never could do before, doing things that it never dreamed of doing. And that's the same as it is within the Jesus world. That's the same as us. That's the same transformation that should be happening to us, that should be manifesting in us as we claim Christ. And yet we cling to this sinner nature. We cling to this verbiage even, this thought process of, I am a sinner. This false narrative of, I am a sinner. That would be like classifying a butterfly as nothing more than a worm with wings. Isn't that funny? We do that to ourselves. We look at ourselves and we take these two natures that never belong together. Saved. Justified. Made whole. Made right. But I'm a sinner. And I think a lot of us, when we come to this place and we're new in our faith and we're new in Jesus, is we have that idea because we've never been told any better, right? Our churches do a good job of characterizing this beautiful life in Christ. And we come to that crucial moment and we get baptized or we say yes to Jesus and we have this experience that we can't explain. And we expect the next day to just be perfect, right? We expect our sin nature to just die. We expect our sin nature to just be no more. And then all of a sudden we get caught in this trap that, well, wait a minute, why am I still sinning? Why am I still stuck in this pattern? Why am I still stuck in this way? And the Bible actually describes this conflict. You guys heard about the war with flesh? Okay. The Bible talks about this, but yet, you know, we don't really understand it all that great. So we have this fleshy body. Some have more fleshy bodies than others. Dude, Christmas is so good. My mom is sending a box of Christmas candy. It has toffee in it, covered in chocolate. She sent me a picture of it, but it looked like a cat litter box. Because it's like toffee, but it has kind of, I think it's peanut top or something on it. And I was like, Mom, that's a cat litter box. And she wasn't very happy because she thought she was doing something really good, which she is. But when all of this comes in, my family won't get any of it, and I'm going to eat all of it, right? So some of us have bigger fleshy bodies than others. But the word flesh in Greek was just actually sarx, S-A-R-X, right? Refers to living apart from God. And sarx is what we produce when we are disconnected to God and running on our own. Paul writes, what the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit, this new being, okay, this transformed nature of us. What the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit, and what the spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. And that's in Galatians 5:17. Paul was writing to regenerate Christians, people in whom Christ dwells, the people that have said yes to Jesus, that the battle between sarx and spirit does not end when we come up from the waters of baptism or when we say yes to Jesus. It's actually just the beginning. So what we have is these bodies, depending on your age, depending on when you've said yes to Jesus, that have lived a hard road, right? Sinning. Some of us have done more things to our bodies than others. And we have these memories. And we have these thoughts. And we have these soul ties. A good friend of mine has this addiction to women. Women, do you know that you can be addicting? You do. I'll take that laugh as a yes, okay? Ha! Oh yeah, we know, okay? He has this addiction to women, and every time he seeks out a new woman to not necessarily have a relationship with, but to sleep with, he creates this memory. He creates this tie. He creates a moment in time and a place in time and a state. And he can tell you where he's been, and he can tell you the house number and where he's been at. And so, he's also a person that claims Jesus. I'm sorry, ladies, there are Jesus followers that do these things, okay? But our bodies, we wreck our bodies. We do these things to ourselves. We carry these things, and what we have is this conflict now between our spirit, this Jesus that lives inside of us, and we have the physical that we still have to deal with. We have habits that we've created, habits that we've formed, things that we've put in our life that should have never been there, but we've continued to play with those things. We've continued to mold those things over. And Jesus, after Jesus, those things don't just disappear, okay? Sometimes they can. I've heard of miraculous soberings. Anybody else? I met a drummer in Rapid City. He's a studio drummer. And he talks about this time when he was homeless and penniless and he was shooting up heroin. And after he shot up, he had a moment of clarity and said, God, I never want to do this again. And he did the kind of the sinner's prayer, the sinner's plea. He said, God, if you sober me up today, I will serve you with the rest of my life. And he said it was amazing because he was sobered right then. And I listen to these stories and I think, man, that's beautiful. Why is that not everybody's tale? Now, what he didn't say is, I've never craved it again. I've never felt the urge He never said that. He said God instantly sobered him, and he gave his life to Jesus. Now, I'm sure, just like all of us, he's got that fleshy side that's just screaming for attention. This fleshy side that says, hey, what about me? And we can feed that. We can feed that. And we can actually sin. Now, you guys are probably confused at this point, saying, well, wait a minute, you said that we're not sinners. You can actually sin as a Jesus person. But sin is not what defines you anymore. Sin is not who you are. Sin is not how you are. You are a person. You are a new creation for those of us that have said yes to Jesus, for those of us in this room that will be saying yes to Jesus. You are a new creation, created to house the fullness of who Jesus is in you. In you. Created to do these things. Did you guys hear this song that played during communion? Not the song that was interrupted, that song, but the actual song that talks about having this hope for who we are, for how we can live, for how we can love, for how we can be. We are not defined by our sin. We are not sinners. We are ones whom Christ desires to dwell in and live out of. This takes a mindset shift. This takes a narrative correction. This takes actually going and looking at these things within the New Testament and seeing who God says we are and how God says we are. John Wesley said that in order to be on guard against sin, we must be aware that its remnants remain. The false notion that we're immune to sin, Wesley taught, cuts off all watching against our evil nature. If we're not thinking about it, if we're not acknowledging it for what it actually is, which was a lot of my life from 11 to 28, after saying yes to Jesus at 11 and then living this awesome, wrecking myself world, if we're not talking about it and thinking about it and understanding that the devil is roaming like a lion, ready to pounce, ready to destroy, ready to kill those of us that say yes to Jesus, those of us that don't say yes to Jesus, I don't think he's that discerning. I think he'll take anybody that he can take down. We don't acknowledge it. We need to understand it. We need to be thinking about it in these ways. But a lot of us don't. We don't put our Christian life under the microscope that way. We don't put our life in Christ under the microscope in that way. We just think we've got some Jesus. We sprinkled some Jesus in at the time we said yes to Jesus, and we're good. We don't have to do much after that. And that's living in a false world. When in all actuality, we should be looking at our situation, if every situation in life, Jeff Parkins and I, we had a beautiful encounter at our local Walmart. I waited 30 minutes for Jeff to get checked out with one item. I was angry. I stood by this, you guys know what that digital key maker thing is now that they have? It's like a little kiosk thing, like a red box. I stood by that, and I had to like just lose myself in my phone because I was pissed that this customer service, I worked 10 years in the customer service industry, and I was watching everything go the opposite way of anything that people should have been trained in, right? And I'm pissed, and I keep looking at Jeff, and I just keep smiling. And waiting for him to catch my eye. And I was waiting for him because in line, we said, let's go to lunch together. You got time? He said, oh, yeah. Jeff's one of your elders. I'm your pastor, one of the pastors here. And instead of acknowledging what was going on in my heart at the time, here's what I did. I deflected it to Facebook. All the while going back and forth between my mind of the injustice that was happening because I'm not being able to feed myself at the time I thought was appropriate. And so this Christ living in me doesn't see this situation as this girl who's new, possibly, girl who doesn't know any better that's checking us out, girl who doesn't know, never once questioning, why am I standing here for 30 minutes? Never once focusing on the spiritual world and the spiritual realm that's going on. What I did is I focused on my anger, and I focused on the injustice, and I focused on, man, they just must not train people anymore. This must be a failing of the Walmart system. Imagine that. I didn't think Walmart could fail. Okay? But I start letting this other side win. Never once did I question, why am I angry? Why am I more upset about this than what's actually warranted, right? Never thinking of the other side of it. Maybe I'm here for a purpose. Maybe I'm here to be a kind smile to someone that's walking by. Maybe I need to be paying attention to my surroundings. Maybe I just needed to spend that 30 minutes praying for that woman, because it's not me with the issue, right? Maybe I should have spent that 30 minutes waiting for and watching and counting the many things that I have going right in my world. These are practices that I've talked about with you in the past, right? And how it changes our hearts, it changes our minds, it changes our experience in the moment. How praying for people in a restaurant or any place that you're at with your eyes open changes how you see people. What I did is I pushed all that down and said, well, I teach people, I don't need to be taught, I don't need to pay attention to my own teachings. And I said, this is what I'm going to focus in on. It's easy, it can happen just like that. Just like that. So this is something that actually needs to be on our mind. This is something that actually needs to be in our hearts, in our souls, in our narratives. It says, no, you are different than this. You are not a sinner. You will not operate in the ways in which you so choose, but you will be operating in the ways in which Scripture commands you to. This Jesus that lives inside you commands you to. And so often, we just don't pay attention to it. But because we are new creations, we must also live in a new way. As one indwelt by Jesus, with an utter dependence on God, in deep and intimate relationship with Him, fully relying on God, and not our willpower. There's nothing that we can do to will this. But we can fall back into this Spirit, this Jesus that is going to do these things within us. God, what do you have to say about this situation? God, what do you have to say about my finances when the church gets up and talks about these things? Are you asking that question when this stuff happens? God, what do you say about the Christmas concert when we're asked to promote it? I'm not going to do that. That's weird. God, what do you say in regards to my place here in the body as one that serves in some capacity here? What do you have to say about that? God, what do you say about me serving in children's or not serving in children's, or me serving the youth or not serving in youth, or me serving communion or not serving communion? What do you say about me loving my neighbor? What do you have to say about that? Should I? And again, it's not anything that we are going to manifest. I'm going to love my neighbor out of my own strength. You can do that for so long and it will burn you out. You know that? You can try to stop sinning all day long in your own strength and it's going to burn you out. You can try to love your best. And if you don't have Jesus, if you're not falling back on what that is and who he is and how he is and how he's calling you to be, you will burn yourself out. I feel like my fog has wrecked my mind today. And I'm not looking for pity, I'm not looking for sympathy, but I am going to stop right now. You good with that? Please, I want to go eat. What I want you to understand is that God is a God for you. Jesus is real. Jesus' ways are real. And take it from a guy who likes to live the hard way first and put Jesus to the test on everything that he would throw my way and tell him every reason and excuse as to why that's not possible. And God continues to transform me, continues to tell me, look, man, all I need you to do is just rest in me. Rest in the transformation that you know is possible. Because he does this through you. He does this through this ministry that happened 10 years ago. I watch you move in this. I watch the light click on and say, you know what? I am one in whom Christ dwells and delights in. And I watch you start making major steps in conquering these sins and fears and everything else that you hold and these false narratives. I've watched it over 10 years. I know it's possible. You know it's possible. Let's keep talking about these things. Let's keep talking about the transformation that happens. Never lose it. Never lose it. Let's keep giving this stuff away together. Let's stop classifying ourselves as Jesus lovers who are also sinners. Let's change our mindset. Let's move forward. Let's embrace what God has for us. God, we love you. We thank you for this time together. I thank you for jumbled up minds and mixed up words and everything else that's going on in my heart right now. I know, Spirit, that you will give fresh bread somewhere here. That I trust. That I rely on. Clear up any confusion that might be here this morning, God. Help us see you as a God who is good. As a God who loves. As a God who is generous. As a God who transforms. As a God who is self-sacrificing. God, help us replace these false narratives in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, that we can be free from this wreckage. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for Jesus, who lives and dwells within us. Thank you for seeing us as creatures. Thank you for creating us as creatures meant to love you and to be loved by you. God, transform us today. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. I want to do some house cleaning announcements. You know, we have talked about the soup kitchen, right? Ted Kramer and his crew, we are doing a Christmas concert. Not on Christmas, not on Christmas Eve, but on the 23rd, next Sunday night. Huh? Christmas Eve, the eve of Christmas Eve. Not to be confused with Christmas Eve. We want you to be there. We want you to be there with your family. We want you to be there with your friends. We want you to invite people to this. There is a stack of handbills on this table right out in the foyer as you're walking into the auditorium. There is a stack of handbills. Take those, invite your coworkers, invite your neighbors, invite your friends. I forgot to load it this morning, but we have been doing paid advertisements on Facebook, and there's this beautiful chart that shows this line of these paid advertisements and the impact that they're having. Last Sunday, when I told you all to get out your phones and share this event and say you're going to this event and inviting your friends to this event, you watched this massive spike. You guys totally took out our paid marketing by what you've done. This is the power that you hold. This is the power that you have to change this place. This is the power that you have to invite and be Jesus to other people. Did you know that? Keep doing that. Not just for the Christmas concert, but for a lot of stuff that's going on. Keep inviting people into your world, where you're going to be, what you're going to be doing, and where Jesus is at. And it's going to change this whole community. Not just Whitewater, but Laramie as well. Your neighborhoods, your families, everything else. So we want you to come, we want you to be a part of it. But the other part of this is we wanted to give towards Ted and the soup, not towards Ted, but the soup kitchen. Okay? We wanted to give financially, and in the past, we've done some really incredible things. We've bought TVs for retirement centers. It was, what, 30 TVs, something like that. We have just given funds. We've given of goods and everything else that we have, but we keep talking about giving here specifically for that. I'm not ready for it today, and I don't think you're ready for it today. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to be praying about it. Have you guys been praying about this since we talked about it the first time? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be praying about it, and I want you to come prepared next Sunday to give. Can you do that? This is over and beyond what we're giving normally on a Sunday morning. We want you to be prepared to give. We want you to be in that mental mindset. Sunday morning, we're going to be swiping cards. We'll have a credit card swiper out so you can give if you're like me and you don't carry cash. You can give all week long if God puts it on your heart right now. You can get on the bulletin and ways to give, and you can get on their PayPal link on the soup kitchen. And then you can give at the Christmas concert as well that night. Ted and his crew will be here with sliders. We're actually going to pass Christmas stockings. But we want you to be thinking forward because you play a part in this, Whitewater. Did you know that? That's what God's calling us to this year, and we expect nothing less than you hearing from God and you moving in that and being a participant in that through your finances. I don't know how else to say it in a nice way that you don't get offended by. Okay? Deal? Next week, come prepared to give. Come prepared to come back for that Christmas concert, 7 p.m. Love you. Grace and peace.